This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
Featured Artist Friday, chosen by you, the people. Beastie Boys, Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. Anything you want to hear from them, three more hours to go, send your request. Plodsport text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. We're ripping it with Ryan here on this Friday. And, well, I guess starting April 11th, every Friday from noon to 2.
Yeah, it's a little teaser.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like a spinach pot.
Yeah, you know, in this case, it's just, you know, we're testing the waters here. Hiatus.
Yes.
And then back. It'll be great, Bob. It's getting the band back together. You, me, Nolan, Captain Biceps Jr. back there.
Yes.
Nolan McGraw.
I tell you what, you've never seen pythons until you've seen Nolan McGraw's.
I can see why. That's why he always wears long shirts. I think he doesn't want to make me feel bad.
Off. Yeah, he doesn't want to show off.
You're a good kid, Nolan.
Hey, I'll make me wear like a puffy coat in the wintertime. Another guy who, you know, doesn't skimp on the old curls. Joining us now to talk about the Orioles on the Window Nation guest hotline from massandsports.com. Birds bringing out the whip and sticks on Jose Barrios and the Blue Jays. Rockabaco, Rock a morning. What is up?
Hey, guys. So that was Beastie Boys? I thought you were playing some Zeppelin there.
Well, you know, Led Zeppelin getting a little cred, and I think the Beastie Boys did credit them on that song. But no, it's the Beastie Boys, and I'm sure, Rock, you're a big fan of the three from Brooklyn.
Yeah, sure. More so Zeppelin, but yeah, I also enjoy that.
I'll pick it up what you're putting down. Hey, look, Ryan and I were talking earlier. Adley, what, 10 for 15 his last three opening days, whatever it is. The monster game yesterday, a couple of knocks. I know he's denied that he was hurt at the second half of the season, but I mean, there was a dramatic drop off in offensive production for a guy that was probably the best wiffle ball player in his neighborhood. So even though he won't admit it, what about Adley? Did you notice a change, maybe physically, health-wise, when you were down in Sarasota, which obviously carried over at least into yesterday?
Well, he certainly seemed very enthused about how he was feeling, where he was, the outlook for the season. We'll never know if there was any sort of injury. We only ask about two dozen times. And even Elias and Hyde after the season, and they said there was nothing that you could blame it on. You know, he did take a ball off the hand, I believe, at some point, maybe in June, and all of a sudden you saw the decline there. Maybe it was something like that, but also it was just his whole approach changed, and Ryan knows from having played, where you talk about a guy getting too big in the box. It looked like everything was you know, he was trying to launch everything. And the launch angle was much higher than usual. It wasn't that line drive to all fields approach. Why that went away, I don't know. I don't know how much of that was pressing. Everybody seemed to fall in a slump together at one point. But he's back. His approach, certainly, in spring training, every time he had a ball to the opposite field, we were ready to throw a parade. Like, it was the biggest deal. A line drive single to left field from the left side of the plate, it was like, stop the presses. This is huge. Because that should be the way he approaches his at-bat. He doesn't need to try to hit home runs. He put one in the second deck last night, and I guarantee he was just looking to barrel the ball, line drive, and he's got that kind of power. So I just think his approach is much better, and you know, we'll never know whether it also was a health issue.
Less is more, right, Rock? And I, when you talked about a backside single, and that was one of my favorite things, and for everyone watching, because that's just how Adley plays. Like that is the complete player. We know the talent he can do and launch some balls out of the yard. And he's had a lot of expectations, right? Adley's had a ton of expectations. I think there's another player on the Orioles that had a lot of expectations last year, but he's still trying to find his footing in the big leagues, and that's Jackson Holliday. You know, Rock, I think what's crazy to me is that Jackson's had all this press, all this PR. He's the next great player before he's ever really been in the bigs. This was his first opening day. This was him starting off with the big league club. And I hope then with all the offense, the pressure can be a little bit off him. But what did you see a little bit from Jackson, not only having to play shortstop a little bit, but how did you assess Jackson's first game there up in Toronto, first opening day as a Bird?
I had a nickel for every time I told a woman that less is more, but I digress. What I saw really is a guy, I mean, he struck out a couple times. He did get a hit. Every single starter reached base. But he had a tough matchup left on left at one point. But I loved what I saw in spring training, and he's had a couple of good camps in a row. But you know, they're remaking him a little bit. For a guy that was a 1-1 and was the best prospect in baseball, they want him to be more of the small ball guy of, you know, bunt more. You got the green light to steal. You know, line drives to all fields, hit the ball in the gap. And again, he's got the power. He's going to get his share of home run. And it really looked like it was working for him in camp. This was one game. And I'm sure he was a little bit nervous. It is his first opening day. People forget that because, he was optioned out late in camp last year. And that was that huge controversy. But he was, what was he, like 20 at the time? And only had a handful of games in AAA. And normally that's the approach his team takes, is they want to see a certain amount of at-bats in AAA. So it really wasn't odd that they made that decision. But I think so many people got their hopes up. They would break camp, and of course he struggled some. It's, you know, it's just that huge leap from AAA to the majors, that even somebody as talented as he is. And now on top of that, they were teaching him a new position at second base. And then they move him back to short this camp because of Gunnar Henderson's injury, and he's going back and forth. Oh, and also we want you to take a different approach at the plate now. So that was a lot for him. It was a lot on his plate. And so really I can just go by what I saw in camp. And he really did look like he was embracing that. He was enjoying it. I think you're going to get the best out of him with that approach.
I do too. I think that people put so much pressure on these young guys. And I remember talking to Westberg and Kowser last year of them saying, what did they learn their first time coming to the bigs? It was, I got to figure out how to be a big leaguer for a season. And I think for Jackson, I hope that this can take some pressure off. And he can lean on some of the veterans here, which kind of leads me to my next question here, Rock. The veteran presence, I've harped on it about how that's stabilizing for a team. And yes, Adley now is reaching into that category of being a veteran. But how about yesterday from a trio of guys? Cedric Mullins getting the infield single, then him leaving the yard twice. Tyler O'Neill looks to really be off to a fantastic start. And if people are into the superstitions, with six straight opening day homers. And then Zach Eflin on the mound. Could you just talk about those three guys? Because I feel that's something for Baltimore, at least last year. The veterans kind of making their impression and being the stable force for a lot of guys that are still trying to figure themselves out here.
Yeah, you know that the years fly by when Adley is now looked at as one of those veteran guys, but he is. The Orioles are just a really good mix of those veterans you mentioned and then some of the younger guys who are progressing to that point, whether, you know, a Westberg, for example, you know, a Gunner, and now, you know, Holliday behind them. But, yeah, I mean, you lose Santander, and he was kind of that guy, leader in the clubhouse that you know, led a lot by example, but also everybody, he was just such a popular guy with this bubbly personality, and that's a form of leadership. And, you know, he's gone now, and Corbin Burns after a year, but they've done a nice job, first of all, with Mullins, who's, you know, might be the longest tenured guy on the team, and he's been there forever, and Mountcastle. You know, I remember when he was the big prospect, they were trying to figure out where to play him, and now he is one of those veteran leaders. And Eflin, that was what was big about that pickup at the deadline last year, beyond the fact that, you know, he's a really good, at least solid two, at least, was that he, and he had, they had him under control for another year, was that kind of leadership in a rotation, you know, because they're also kind of trying to weave in some of these younger guys, like a Cade Povich, for example, and at some point, Brandon Young, probably. So, you know, that's these guys are counting on to go ahead and provide some of that leadership as well as a production. And you're going to see more and more, like with Mullins, he's going to be a free agent after this year. This might be it for him. So, you know, this is an important year for him individually, but he's all about team. And he's definitely a quiet leader. If you ever talk to Cedric, you got to lean in to hear what he's saying. He's a tough transcription for the media with our recorders, but he garners a lot of respect in that clubhouse. And so they're going to be looking for a lot of that. And O'Neill, we're getting to know him, and he blended immediately. It's such a great culture in this organization. They really welcome the newcomers, and he's become wildly popular already. Guys love him for his intensity, but also the sense of humor. They love the joke with him about the bodybuilder physique. He brought 24 of the Tim Hortons donuts. He's going to bring more today. I mean, he just blended right in from the very beginning.
Are Tim Horton donuts up to a par of what we're used to here in the Charm City Rockabacca? I know you're a big health food advocate, but, you know, everybody likes a donut, man. We can't get crazy here.
Oh, I love me a donut. I've never had one, but I there's one right across the street. They're pretty much on every corner. It's like a Starbucks in Seattle. So I'm definitely going to have to sample, because they look really good, but they were not for the media. So I just had to walk by them and try not to drool on them.
Well, it'd be like a Portnoy guy from a bar stool, like with pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's Rock's new role.
Yeah. Eat a donut, Rock. Let us know the thumbs up, thumbs down. Rockabacca, massinsports.com. Enjoy Toronto. We'll see you next week at Camden Yards.
Thanks, guys.
There's Rockabacca, everybody. We'll come back. It's the whip around. What happened in the world of sports last night? A couple of things of interest, and we'll share that with you. And then we'll go to College Park. Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. If you're on the phones, we'll get you around 11:45. Kevin Willard looks like he's out the door. Are you cool with that? Are you cool with Buzz Williams? If he, in fact, is the guy that replaces him. And the Orioles. It's only one game, but you got to feel better than you did 24 hours.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hours ago.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport.
Every game.
Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Time for the Whip Around. We're ripping it with Ryan. Ryan Ripken is here with us this Friday, and starting in 2 weeks, going to be here every Friday from noon to 2. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Let's get to it. Outside of the Maryland game, which ended in a poor way for Maryland, 87-71. Season comes to an end. Terps outscored 47-33. Second half. Seldon Miguel, his swan song for the Terps. How about a donut? And not a Tim Horton donut. A donut in the box score.
Feels good.
0 points. When he missed the two free throws in the first half and they were missing layups, I was like, yeah. I just had a bad vibe, man. My vibe, my mojo, my biorhythms were off.
You had a sense. And you usually, Bob, your sense is right.
You know, I'm a very optimistic guy, Ryan Ripken.
Of course.
And when they were up two, I'd said it earlier, they're down two at halftime. Oh, they were still, Florida's playing like crap and they're still winning at halftime. This is not going to go well.
And it didn't go well, Bob. You're right. Hey, you know what? We balance each other out. I'll be so optimistic. You can be a little bit more on the other side.
Well, you know, I try to do the yin and the yang and all that. Duke 193 over Arizona. Arizona was getting hammer timed. Came back and cut it to 5. Cooper Flagg, who, by the way, teammates with Derek Queen in high school. I mean, how studly is this dude right now? I mean, that was a pretty epic performance last night.
I was going to say, you know, they're both saying about their futures. They're both Queen, Flag, NBA.
Yeah.
You're just wondering, is that team down in Washington possibly going to get the number one overall pick? Because I think Flag's got to be the guy. And Duke, I know people in Maryland don't like them. Duke's good, Bob.
Sure.
They look like, if Flag plays like this, Duke might be raising a banner here.
Well, Duke will play Alabama, who scored a buck 13 last night against BYU, 113-88, as they were just draining threes from all over the floor. So Duke, Alabama, 1-2. We got chalk in the East tomorrow. This sizes up to be quite the exciting basketball game. And yes, I do hate Duke. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I know. I think a lot of people around here
but it's not as angst-ridden, Nolan, get in here, because you're a little on the younger side. And same with you, Ryan. When Maryland and Duke were like rivaling it up in the late 90s, early 2000s, that was one of the most, they were the highest rated games in the college basketball landscape. But that rivalry hasn't been as intense since then, and Maryland's not even in the league, so.
Well, they haven't played each other since 2012.
Exactly. So, do we really hate, I still do, because I grew up hating them, but do you guys really hate Duke the way that us old geezers
I know that, like, I'm still a youngster. Nolan, how old are you again?
29.
He's way younger. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, by 2 years. I'm 31. But I grew up on those games. I still remember the, 10-point lead with a minute to go, whatever it was.
Gone in 54 seconds.
Yeah. I'm glad you forgot that,
the day
Bob.
Before the Super Bowl.
Right? So I don't say I have a hate, but I miss the games. Ask Lonnie Baxter about this. What did you hate more, Duke or the move to the Big Ten? He goes, I hated the move more to the Big Ten because we can't have those moments with Duke anymore. Thought that was interesting.
Right. Yeah, but Duke, to what we're talking about, Alabama, that's going to be a track meet. I'd take the over.
Mm.
But the two highest scored teams, and Florida's in there. Of course, we put the hammer on Maryland. That's going to be fun. Also in the West, Texas Tech in overtime coming from behind to stun Arkansas 85-83. So the little number three seed that could keeps on churning maybe to San Antonio.
Yeah, how about that? Did it feel like, though, that Arkansas and Calipari were about to pull it off again?
Oh, no doubt.
And they had it right there. But, hey, you know what? Good for Tech. I mean, honestly, it would have been an SEC right now. What, Bama, Florida, and then almost Arkansas joined them. I guess the SEC might be a little bit better than I wanted to give credit to initially, Bob, but heck of a run for Arkansas and heck of a run for Tech.
And they got two more teams rolling tonight on top of that. Oh, three or four more. Wait a minute. My math is bad. That's what that GED does for you, Nolan. Michigan State against Ole Miss. Michigan, Auburn in the South. These games are going to be in Atlanta. Michigan State was my pick to win that bracket. But Wolverines, they win the Big Ten tournament. They knocked Buzz Williams out last weekend from Texas A&M. Now going up, however, against the number one seed Auburn Tigers here.
Yeah, has Michigan still got that that magic? They look good in the Big Ten tournament. They look good right now. And I don't know. I'm just – wow, I really – you weren't kidding about how many SEC schools are playing today.
Yeah.
And Tennessee, Kentucky, one of them is moving on. Wow, they are pretty damn good.
And Kentucky has beaten Tennessee, twice this year?
Yeah.
Within a couple-week span. An entirely new lineup for Mark Pope at Kentucky, including Adafe Owe's brother, by the way. I don't know his first name, so I don't want to, like, totally disrespect the guy. But Owe – in Kentucky, he's had a big tournament. Can the Wildcats make it three for the season against old Rick Barnes and the Tennessee Volunteers?
Yeah, I mean, talk about pressure with a Kentucky job. We're talking about with Maryland. Down in Kentucky, you need to win. Probably had their lowest expectations that they've had in some years. And here they are, one win away from the Elite Eight.
Purdue against Houston, that's the other game in the Midwest. In Indianapolis, by the way, Purdue, Sweet 16 yet again. Houston Cougars, old Kelvin Sampson has them kind of, that's their, hey, we're in the Sweet 16. Injuries kind of cut us short last year. But Houston, to me, that's the team that's going to cut down the nets. Keep in mind, I'm usually wrong.
Well, I agree. You know what? That was what my bracket said, Bob.
There we go.
Even though I think if Duke plays like they did last night, I think it very well could be Duke, but H-Town, man. I don't know why. Maybe it's just I see Purdue and all I can think about is them being upset. But they're a really good program.
And they've been playing really well.
So that should be a good game.
We're ripping it with Ryan here on this Friday. Featured Artist Friday at that. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. NBA last night. Indiana, not the Hoosiers, the Pacers, drop a buck 62 on the Wizards. 162-109. I didn't watch the game. Of course, I was all March Madness up. But I was looking at the box score, and I'm like, that is six? Yes! Nine players in double digits for Indiana, led by Tyrese Halliburton, who had 29. For the Wizards, Bob Carrington, Baltimore's own, 13 points, 4 boards, 6 assists. As he matures, and he's still a young guy, I could see him, Ryan. Alex Sarr's having a really good rookie of the year kind of year, maybe. But Bob Carrington looks like a triple-double level dude as his career progresses.
Yeah, hey, you know what? It's the positive. Let's look at the positives here. Yeah. There is some talent right there. It might not feel that way when you lose by 53, but
at home.
But there is some young pieces there that are going to continue to blossom. And one thing right now, even though it doesn't feel good, 16-57 on the year, this is a chance you get to continue to work. No pressure's on, and I'm with you, man. There are some positives for these young guys getting more and more opportunity.
And maybe the most dramatic game of the night in the NBA took place in Chicago. Lakers thought they had themselves a win, and quietly one of the rising superstars in basketball said, not so fast.
Bulls are out of timeouts. 2 seconds left. Giddy for the win!
I'm coming, baby.
Bulls Radio Network, as you can tell, that's Stacey King. Remember him from Oklahoma and Chicago? Josh Giddey, half-court shot at the buzzer, stuns L.A. Austin Reeves scored with 3 seconds left to put him up. 119-117. Giddey last night, 25 points, 14 boards, 11 assists. And Ryan Ripken, this is a guy we talked about it off the air. Kind of overshadowed in OKC, now becoming an all-star in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, OKC has all that talent there. Then they say, hey, we're going to trade you away because it fits the talent that we have. But Giddey's a good player, 22 years old. He looks like he's going to be a stable force there. And then, yeah, it's always going to feel good when you erase a 16-point deficit in the fourth quarter. I like Giddey's game a lot. I think we're going to see a star in the making there in Chicago for a
Looks
while.
Looks like a young Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Kevin Huerter, 21.6 boards, 5 assists, former Terp for Chicago. Jalen Smith sticks, DNP, coach's decision. Same with Alex Len for the L.A. Lakers. A real quick, got to get a break. NHL last night, Minnesota beat the Caps 4-2. Gaudreau, 2 goals. Ovi did not score, but Washington, they host Buffalo coming up this weekend. Sabres 30-35-6. Minnesota, huge win for them as they maintain their advantage in the wild card in the West. We'll come back, talk Terps. Keith Cavanaugh here on the Fan.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
Beastie Boys, featured artist Friday. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, ripping it with Ryan Ripken. Here on this lovely day in the Charm City, Terps are gonzo. Women play today against South Carolina. Orioles in Toronto, trying to make it 2 in a row, start the year against the Blue Jays. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline, TerrapinTimes.com. Keith Cavanaugh. Keith, what's up?
Bob, stop the presses.
Yo.
2 reasons. A, did you just say you just turned 60?
Yes.
Guess who woke up today, turned 62, still feels and looks like he's 61, and has taken vital time out of his birthday to do the Bob Haney and Ryan Ripken show.
Tooken?
I know it's a trick question.
You've tooken or taken? I guess you had to learn your...
Can you guess? I know it's a tough...
That would be Keith Cavanaugh.
There you go. 62.
Well,
man. I still don't got it.
Man, neither do I. All right, what's going on? What's the deal? What's the scoop?
The other thing is this going to be a 4-hour segment or a 5-hour segment?
As long as you make it.
So much to cover. Yeah, Bob, obviously... Kevin Willard is out. You know, last night he was booed at the team hotel send-off. He didn't tell the team anything in the locker room either way. And then he went in the back door at the team hotel when they got back, when all the players went in the front. So, bizarre drama for the last several weeks. I don't think Steven Spielberg and Hollywood could have scripted a worse exit by a coach, given all the language and, you know, the comments on his way out the door. Tough loss last night. Yeah, rebounding, defense, turnovers, empty possessions. We get the point. But where Maryland goes from now, obviously the portal opened Monday. They're going to need major infusion of talent, bigs, guards. Who knows who will be leaving? Who knows who could possibly go to Villanova? With Willard, but right now, Buzz Williams you know, leader in the clubhouse, has interest in Maryland. He's proven at Texas A&M, four Sweet 16s, one Elite Eight, nearly a second Elite Eight when he lost on the buzzer, two-time SEC Coach of the Year. He's done it at every place, Marquette, Virginia Tech, TAMU, has a national recruiting reach. So, and a lot of energy, high-voltage guy. So let's see how quickly things can get done here, because time is of the essence. But, you know, so many layers and permutations on the theme here. Unfortunately, it, you know, diminished a lot of what's going on in the court, which this year, to me, is probably the most satisfactory season since the Natty. When you think of the excitement, the enjoyment, the entertainment from this team that was just cobbled together, first year picked for 10th in the, you know, the preseason in the Big Ten, and always found ways to win. Last night, only blowout loss of the year, only two possession plus point loss of the year. But where they go from now in the portal, the coach, everything, AD, I mean, the list just goes on.
Yeah, Keith, I mean, you just kind of touched on that at the end. And also, happy birthday, by the way. I know you said 41st birthday.
Well, 42nd. He says token and permeations in the same sentence. Like, how does that happen?
Too much daytime drinking on the birthday, but go ahead.
Hey, well, hey, you know what? Hey, live it up. You did mention.
I'm kidding.
You did just mention, though, about, you know, taking away from the season. Right, and Bob and I, before we got back on air here, we were talking about, you know, the heyday of time for Maryland. And we were trying to think back where things were buzzing. You know, we have to go back to what, the early 2000s, where football was there was good vibe and energy around there. The basketball program, obviously, being considered one of the best in the nation. You know, when you're looking at this, of Maryland trying to get back to this, is there a worry for you after this great year that the basketball team had? Do you think it's going to halt some of that momentum and kind of have that sensation of, well, here we go again. We're kind of still, you know, lost in translation on trying to get back to what made Maryland so good at what they did.
Yeah, let's go back to those most recent glory days. Gary's Natty followed by Brenda's Natty. I was at both those games. Those were the glory years. Then Ralph, back-to-back-to-back, Orange, Gator, and Peach Bowls. Obviously, they lost to Florida in the Orange Bowl, but won the other two decisively. Bird Stadium, now Maryland Stadium, was packed. ever since then, mismanagement, mishires, Wally Lowe, hired Kevin Anderson and Damon Evans. Happy trails, Damon Evans. Thank goodness he is gone. Clearly, we saw how much Willard loathed him in his recent comments this week. And his number two, who's the interim, Colleen Sorum, Willard hasn't even been talking to vis-a-vis about contracts or whatever. He's gone to a senior advisory AD, associate AD, and Brian Allman. But you need to get an AD in here. As we mentioned last week, President Pines, who there's an external investigation going around for the last 8 months on his thesis and a plagiarism investigation. So you got uncertainty at president. You don't have an AD. You have an interim. The AD search will not be done until the summer. They're doing a full-on committee, search firm, a national thing. Time is of the essence now because of NIL, because of portal. Football, this will be the last year for Locks, barring a major, major turnaround, okay? Spring ball started this week, really not resonating with many of the fans. Everyone's consumed with hoops here. But you have this conflagration of issues where I had someone yesterday call me and say, in all of D.C. sports history, the most loathed person was Daniel Snyder. Willard's a close second right now. I mean, for the way he's exiting now, I mean, that might be a little egregious, but just throwing Maryland, it's one thing throwing Damon under the bus or whatever, because basketball under Damon was kind of treated like a redhead stepchild. But, you know, the look for the university was just horrific when they should be celebrating one of only two teams in the country or schools with both men's and women in the Sweet 16, along with Duke. And the women, you know, they play tonight at 5. What a great season, despite their roster limitations, no big, a lot of injuries. Tough game tonight in Birmingham, obviously, against number one South Carolina. But I haven't seen – I haven't had such excitement, minus this recent Willard drama, in a Terp season, basketball season, since the Natties back then. So can it be done? Yes. Can you fill Bird Stadium, as Ralph proved, with exciting winning football? Yes. When you don't have 12 or 14 penalties a game, when you can never beat the big boys, where you can never get a third or fourth and short completion. All these things, when you can retain players – you know, the profit sharing's kicked in now. All the programs have more money NIL-wise. But Maryland's got to not go through some long, glacial, laborious search for coach, AD, or whatever. Things are just popping. And good example, Kwame Evans from Oregon, the Baltimore kid, five-star. He's out at Oregon now. He's putting his toe in the portal, and he's a guy who wants to come to Maryland. But there's uncertainty now. Now, he's a stretch 5'4" or 5", who's kind of a tweener, who's never really hit his stride, but he's a local kid wanting to come back. But what are you coming back to? And to get a marquee coach right now with all this indecision and all these question marks, AD, president, and so forth and so on, it's tough to attract a top candidate. You know, lots of other names are being thrown around out there. But the fact Little Patino shined Villanova, Mick Cronin has seemingly shined Villanova, and Willard not commenting on it, obviously, and Jay Wright's pregame comment last night. Obviously, they wanted to make like, it's just starting today. Nothing's been going on with agents. And how do you say you haven't talked to your agent or wife about any of it? You talk to your agent every damn day of the week, or at least text. It's all done, you know, this hobokery and everything. But my God, you know, this is what agents do, and they're doing all the back channel stuff. And, yeah, whether he announces today, tomorrow, or whatever, it's got to be done now. And got to retain players, got to get new players, got to keep Chris Jeffries on board, their four-star guard, senior signee, and on and on and on. That's why this needs to be a four-hour segment, Bob.
All right, Keith Kavanaugh, first of all, happy birthday, turning 22, and it's always a good year to have. And thanks for all the positivity from TerrapinTimes.com. Keith, have a great weekend.
Happy birthday,
one
Keith.
One last housekeeping
real quick,
comment, guys.
Clock integrity.
If you're down at opening day, I'll be in the house of the Babe Ruth Museum block party, talking Terps down by the stadium, 11:30 to 2:30. Stop on in. All you can eat and drink, oysters, beer. Bob Haney would love that. And I'll come over and see you at Pickles, but go to BabeRuthMuseum.org if you want any information. I want to turn the page quickly to Orioles opening day, Terps new coach. But come on down, talk Terps. I'll be down there in the house.
All right, Keith Kavanaugh. Oh, my God. We need to take a break because of all of that stuff. Yeah, I think we're more concerned about what we're doing on opening day here at 105.7 The Fan. We're going to be at Pickles all day long, starting at 6 o'clock. Baltimore baseball today with me, with Ryan and Jim Hunter and Mike Borda, getting you ready for the Orioles and Red Sox home opener with Cade Povich on the hill scheduled for the Birds of Baltimore. We're ripping it with Ryan. It's Bob Haney. It's Nolan McGraw, Featured Artist Friday here on The Fan. Ripping it with Ryan Ripken here. Heading into the 12 o'clock hour. If we don't get your phone calls this segment, we'll certainly get them as we flip to the noon portion of the show. A lot of people want to talk about the Terps. Orioles taking on the Blue Jays. Game 2 of their season after they demolish Toronto. Tony Tater's 0-for-4. Quiet game for him, but you know that bat's going to start talking sooner or later. Kevin Gausman against Charlie Morton. We'll get into that, obviously, as the show progresses. And as soon as we hear anything about Kevin Willard's ultimate decision, we'll share the news with you. But why? All right, let's get out to the phones. People have been waiting. Let's go to East Baltimore. It's Derek. Derek, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Afternoon, Bob. Afternoon, Ryan.
Afternoon.
Is it afternoon? Oh, still morning.
Yeah, we're getting there, dude.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah, we're almost there. Jesus. Bob, listen, during the break, man, I had to call my therapist after that Keith Kavanaugh segment. Thank you very much, man.
And your allergist, too, it sounded like.
I'm telling you, Jesus. But, yeah, man, so the Terps last night. So I was talking to Nolan, you know, when I called in, right? So that guy, who was that third guy that was with Stan Van Gundy and Kevin Harlan last night?
Oh, Dan Bonner.
That?
Dan Bonner, long. Yeah. Remember, he did the ACC games for years when the Terps were in the league. Still does, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, that dude's an a-hole, man. He pissed me off, man. He was so negative last night, Bob. He was really, really negative, man, to the point where, you know, I had to turn the TV down and listen to, you know, Johnny Holiday and the boys, man. He just really, you know, he really was, like, killing me, man. But I digress. Anyway,
yeah.
Anyway, that game last night came down to two things for me, Bob. Obviously, rebounding, which we struggled with, you know, through the whole, you know, postseason. But I thought last night that for the first time, the depth really came into play as far as, production-wise, with Celton Miguel having, you know, one of his worst games. And then, him getting in there, all that early foul trouble. And then, the young guy, Harris Smith.
Deshaun Harris Smith. Remember, a highly regarded recruit coming out of high school, too.
Yeah, he suffers from what I call STD, scared to death. He just would not shoot the ball, man. And, it was an awesome season from the guys. I'm really proud of the team, man, for the way they performed. It's unfortunate with all this Kevin Willis stuff that's going on and everything that's going on with the school. You know, everything's in limbo right now. But, I mean, you know, with all the talent that, the city had, we talk about it all the time, Buzz. So, I mean, we'll be okay. We'll bounce back. But go Orioles. Appreciate you guys, man.
All right, hell yeah. All right, thanks, Derek. Have a great weekend. And as we've talked about, the great season aside.
Yeah.
Has the momentum been stunted here based on the uncertainty? You know, no AD. Pines is talking more about Kermit the Frog than trying to extend his basketball coach and all of this craziness. Who knows what's going on with Kavanaugh? Say that Mike Loxley's going to be gone after this year unless something miraculous happens. I mean, this is talk about uncertainty. Goes back to what, 2010-ish, when Ralph was forced out.
Mm-hmm.
James Franklin was supposed to get the job, didn't. Randy Etzel did, and Sean Miller was supposed to replace Gary, didn't. That went to Turgeon. Yeah, I mean, it's very 2010, which we're dealing with right now.
It sounds like a fun time then, but the point being right there, Maryland had a tremendous year. It was how a lot of people that we've talked to so far and around town has been one of the best seasons that they've watched for Terp basketball, and yet, in some cases, people don't feel great about the situation, mainly because of all the negativity surrounding the recent moves.
And real quick, before we get to the top, and Dan and PT and Rashawn, we'll get you in the next hour, talk about Maryland. The buzzer beater Sunday night, that was the glorious Nolan moment. He doesn't remember the national championship teams in the Final Fours of 08. He don't even know who Joe Smith was. I mean, we didn't see him play because you weren't alive yet, but for guys like, you know, your age is.
Yeah.
I mean, that Derek Queen thing was kind of the high water mark. And now the guy that put together the team, Nolan doesn't even want to act like he exists anymore.
Because he doesn't. Queen made the shot.
We'll come back. Get back to your phone calls. We got the American League East report coming up at 12:30. We'll look at today's MLB schedule and talk more about the Orioles beatdown of the Toronto Blue Jays. Charlie Morton's on the hill. We know what his track record is, but that birth certificate, is that something to be worried about?